Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would describe it as us having to be consistent with the connection, in terms of after every play I'm going to him and I'm saying, is that where you wanted me to be? And asking for feedback, especially after practice, asking him what routes he wants to run, where does he see me coming out of this break? Just a lot of reps and doing it over and over and over again.
That is Joshua Palmer, new Bills wide receiver off of four seasons with the LA Chargers, talking about his chemistry with his MVP quarterback, Josh Allen. Palmer, among those who were added, we'll see what tomorrow brings, but he, I think, was spending a lot of time with trainers today, is what I read while practice was going on. I'll save the whole rundown on all that stuff until Sal gets here at 4 o'clock, but you know, they got a couple guys back. Knox was back practicing today. Elijah Moore was back practicing today. But Palmer, I think, did not make it through the entire practice. It didn't look like anything serious, but he was, again, spending some time with the trainers. Thanks for tuning in here on WGR this afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away on some vacation time here. We've opened up today talking about the Bills receiving corps. I know, right? Go figure. But no, I'm coming from a compliment. Optimistic place. If you were placing a bet on which Bills pass catcher, other than Shakir, because he already passed my thresholds here, is going to break through to say 60 catches and anywhere from 6 to 10 touchdowns, who would you throw your money on? And I'm saying Coleman. I like what I'm hearing and seeing about him today. So far in camp, 7 practices or 7 days in to camp, but certainly difference of opinion are welcomed here. One respondent on Twitter, Hobbs, says more is his answer. I had the poll, Kincaid, Coleman, Palmer, other, and please comment. And this person commented, Moore, Elijah Moore, 80-plus receptions, 1,100-plus yards and 10 touchdowns. That would just be so massive. And look, I don't know, maybe guessing Coleman can approach 60 and 6 to 10 touchdowns is just as unreasonably optimistic, given what his rookie year looked like. You know, Moore has never had the opportunity to play with a quarterback as talented as Josh Allen, nor be a part of a team as talented as the one that he's on now. But the problem I have with him getting too excited about him, it was before camp even started, wasn't he a part of some workout group? I can't remember who was organizing it. Chad Johnson. Elijah Moore was a part of that group, and there was a clip of him doing some sort of cone drill.
It was incredible.
Cutting, and the little black specks from the turf were flying everywhere. It's like, oh, look at his feet. Man, he looks awesome. Problem I have getting too excited about Moore is just the numbers game. I'm not really sure where he fits in, and honestly, it isn't always who's the most talented receiver, right? They've got Samuel, and there's an investment there in Samuel, and I feel like he and Moore are close enough for the purposes of our discussion and for the purposes of the Bills building their receiving core. I feel like he and Samuel are similar enough. Moore's a little bigger, but I think both guys will be fighting to get snaps if they're both here. I'm not even assuming that they will both be here, and because special teams enters into it, right? A Jalen Virgil body type enters into it. Returnability even. I mean, I don't know. I think LaVisca Chenault is really in tough to try to make this team, even tougher than Elijah Moore. But I am not assuming. I mean, Coleman, Palmer, Shakir, all yeses. I think Samuel is a yes. He's scary with injury stuff. He's already missing time now, here earlier than I think he started missing time last summer. And, you know, the guys that have been around here, Shavers, they seem to like. Jalen Virgil, there's a draft pick. Wait until Hard Knocks shows up. Did you see the highlight of this Steven Gosnell long catch from practice on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Weeks ago, I'd have to go find it, but my buddy Pat Moran from the Talking Buffalo podcast, I think, asked one day on Twitter, who's like the sneaky star, right? Who's someone that we're not thinking about that's going to be featured on Hard Knocks? And if I didn't actually reply to him with this Steven Gosnell, it's who I wanted to reply
that's
with.
That's who you were thinking of.
I was thinking of. Because, I think it's falling into place. I mean, he caught the longest pass play, I think, of camp so far was a completion to him for a touchdown the other day. He's an undrafted free agent who, I think I've got his story right because I just checked it the other day, tore his knee up in Virginia Tech's bowl game at the end of the 23 season, but rehabbed so vigorously that he came back and played in 24, right? So January of 24, actually, but it's the end of the 23 season, and he was back playing when the 24 season kicked off. Did not have a huge year by any means, but I just feel like that story is going to be compelling, and he made a big play already, and I'm expecting that to show up on Hard Knocks when it debuts on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Like that. And so that's a guy, it's the power of television, right? You might not be thinking about this guy at all. Maybe right now is the first time you even heard his name, right, with me talking about him on the radio. You're going to sit down to watch Hard Knocks, and if they go in this direction, I there might be too many other compelling storylines for this to make the cut. I don't know. I'm not in charge of HBO's Hard Knocks. I don't know. But I feel like they like the sort of plucky underdog guys for that show. And as soon as, with some dramatic music playing, you get him talking about how hard he worked to come back from the knee injury in such a short period of time and play, and how brokenhearted he and his family were, they didn't get drafted. I don't know that this is true. I'm creating the vignette for you, okay? And the music is playing, and then you're going to show him running routes, and he's going to catch this long bomb. People go, oh, I like this guy. Like, and I'm not making fun of you. Like, that's just how it works, man. Like, media, especially visual media, is manipulative. Like, it gets you. So if they present him in the right way, I just have a feeling he's like a sneaky sort of under-the-radar star of Hard Knocks. Maybe early on.
Oh, 100%. Hard Knocks has a type. We all have a type as well.
Right. So, look, I'm not telling you I think he makes the team or anything, but it's just another name. But when I look at Moore and Samuel, I'm not assuming that they're both here because of special teams, because of returns, because of Shavers and Virgil, guys who've been in the system. There's also a draft pick in Prather who's also a bigger body, like different body type. They may want to have, you know, like if they're counting on Coleman, which they should be, they may want to have someone who's more similar to him should something happen to him. And, you know, you got to get pretty far into the depth chart to find that guy. So I just don't know. I think there could be a long shot. And Moore's the easier guy to cut because there's not a dead money investment that's going to be hanging around there. I was really surprised when we talked about this maybe last week or the week before, how much Samuel would cost to offload if you wanted to, even now post June 1st.
He's borderline unmovable.
Yeah. So I think that makes it tough for Moore. I mean, I love this call. 80 catches, 11.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
100 yards, 10 touchdowns. That would be amazing. I just, That's a guy that I'm not even assuming is on the team. I'd like him to be on the team. Frankly, if it were up to me, I might prefer he be on the team instead of Curtis Samuel. Like, if that were the choice, right? From everything I'm saying here, body type, like fit in the offense, what skill set, that kind of thing. But I just don't know that it's that likely at all because of the contract that Samuel's got.
I ended up getting there this morning with Moore. Because, I mean, we've had this conversation. Like, I love Elijah Moore. I'm kind of a sicko for it. Like, Hobbs is my burner account on Twitter, obviously. But I'm kind of with you. Like, it's the numbers game. It's not fair, what have you. Sal is a big Tyrell Shavers guy. He looks like an NFL receiver. They probably just have way too many guys in front of him. I think your stat line for, like, who's going to have this might end up actually being the best receiver on the team. Especially if you can get to, like, 6 to 10 touchdowns, that might just be the guy. Because they really don't have anyone that's going to demand 140 targets, 102 receptions like you had for Elijah Moore last year. He had 102 targets. It's not going to happen. I think it'll actually be Palmer. I love the Keon hit. I like what I'm hearing from camp. It sounds great. He's not a volume guy, I don't believe. And I think there will be games running where it's just, Keon gets like a target or two. I mean, it might work. It might be a touchdown, but he's not really a part of it. Where Palmer, I mean, everyone with the Bills bangs that guy's drum. Everybody.
Yep.
Bean, in now his like infamous or famous appearance here, like he was banging his drum. Like, that's their guy. And he sort of fits the bill of what Allen likes to throw to. Like, Keon, like, that's the one thing I can't totally wrap my head around, is like, that's not really the guy Allen particularly likes to throw to, that kind of player. Palmer is.
Right. Coleman is almost a return to what they started out 100%. Doing with Allen, right?
Yeah.
It was the bigger guys were here, Andre Holmes, Kelvin Benjamin. It was like catch radius because he's not accurate. Mm-hmm. And then they, even before that rookie year was over, they pivoted to like, oh, let's go get Isaiah McKenzie.
Right, exactly.
And we need some speed and separators. And that's how we'll offset his lack of accuracy. You don't really hear any problems about a lack of accuracy anymore. He really worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not there anymore. And so, yeah, I mean, the shakiest thing about Coleman to me is like carving out a role for a guy who, it really depends on what they can do with him and where they want to deploy him and how flexible they are between he and Shakir, say. Like, I've got the big slot thing in my head with Coleman and working the middle of the field and using his body to just sort of, you know, just box guys out. I don't like the idea of featuring a guy in my offense who's going to depend, as much as it might be likely that he will depend on contested catches.
Yeah, it's not a winning. If that's your go-to ability, it's not a winning model. Like, for me, especially with receivers, I'm big on the guys like Palmer and Diggs. I'm a separation artist. I'm a technician. Maybe not the fastest guy, but I just get open. And that's where I think we'll know early if Keon is going to be a main fixture of the offense, or Palmer, or both.
Yep.
I think you could find out pretty early. Now, I will say there were games last year before Coleman got hurt where it was like, oh, okay, you're the guy now. The Seattle game I bring up a lot, where he just, I mean, kind of just bullied a pretty good Seattle secondary. He's drawing penalties. They go to the jump ball twice to him. It didn't work once. They're like, cool, we're going to do it literally the next play, and it works. He's blocking guys into the sidelines. I mean, it was great. But Palmer's the guy I could see where just for a month and a half, you're like, he's averaging 6 targets a game. Like, Allen's just going to him all the time. And because he's also pushing the ball down the field. They really weren't able to do that. I think Palmer could be that guy.
And I could see them wanting, like I mentioned as a part of this, the team's motivation to feature Kincaid and or Coleman, right? Draft pick, equity, like, let's get these guys off. Palmer, while it's a modest contract by NFL wide receiver standards, you know, it's the biggest wide, well, no, Shakir's ahead of him now after he got his extension, but still, it was a significant contract for the Bills to sign at that position. I think they would also want to make that work. I mean, they want to make everybody work, but there's different degrees, I think, from out here of importance on guys. Like, if Palmer shows up and simply has, like, a Mac Hollins kind of year, even with the touchdowns, he'd be like, what are we doing here? You're paying $11, $12, $13 million for that? Did Mac Hollins do that for like a quarter of that last year? Like, what are we doing? So I think they're going to want to get Palmer off too. Like, there's, and so, you know, mouths to feed, everybody eats, et cetera, et cetera. I think you know the mantra. If you had to pick a player from the Bills' pass catchers, okay, it's not just receivers. I didn't bother listing a running back because I just cannot imagine the Bills' offense turning into something that features a 60 reception running back at this point. I mean, I suppose it could happen, but that would really blow my mind. So I listed, you know, the tight ends and the receivers, and we're just talking about that. You want to get in on the conversation? There's absolutely room for you to do so at 803-0550. Sal Capaccio coming your way in about 20 minutes. Matthew Collar an hour after that from Minnesota, our old friend, former morning show producer here at WGR. We'll get the lowdown on the Vikings and the NFC North from Matt when he joins us again at 5 o'clock. Mike is away today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.